Are we ready? Let's take it to the limit.
One more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world,
everywhere,
Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stop!
Greetings!
Sleeping Beast!
In a fight! In a fight!
Go take a chance! With games and stuff,
love
comedy, variety, and more, news, reviews, interviews, now with 100% more profanity,
100%
guessing games, physical challenges, on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Everybody has! And now, a man needs no introduction. Allow me to introduce your host.
Hey there! Nice to see ya! Come have a seat.
Yeah!
Excellent, excellent.
What a night!
Wow, I can't believe it. It's a beautiful Tuesday night right here in Chicago, Illinois. My name is Anderson Lover, and thank you for joining us on the Game Show Show and Stuff. With me, as usual, is the Volpone.
Yes.
Mr. James Anthony Zoccoli Jazz.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Anderson. Please don't use my government name. It has dark
undertones.
Significance in my life.
You know what a Volpone is?
Yes, it's wolf-like. I am wolf-like, yes? No?
No, it means a cunning schemer. Yeah, maybe wolf-like. Yeah. Maybe that is what it means.
Or I guess Volpine means more like fox-like. I think that's more foxy. Whatever
perhaps.
It is, I love it.
And also with us, filled in for me last week, is the Varicund Jonathan Dolores Moran, everybody.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Varicund. That is one Varicund motherfucker right there.
Wait, what does that mean?
It means shy, coy, and bashful.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
Bashful Johnny.
Yeah, I like it.
Chicks dig when you're bashful.
That's true.
They sure do.
That's true.
Maybe I should have been more bashful in my life.
Yeah, probably. Jackass.
I could have stained a little more bashfulness.
Yeah, a little fucking modesty.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Yeah, jeez, yeah. Louise.
Well, it's nice restraint. To see. Yeah, yeah, a little restraint every once in a while.
Self-control.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Perhaps. Oh, boy, it's funny because it's
true. But that's where all my charm comes from.
Yeah, right.
My lack of control and restraint.
People like love it.
Like Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the Joker.
Or the Joker.
It's funny because it's true.
Well, nice to see you, fellas.
Yeah, cheers. Good to
likewise.
Be seen. Good to
welcome
see you.
Back. Thank you so much. We have something serious to talk about.
Do we?
Yes. Oh. What? During the time I was gone, the Washington Post made a big mistake.
What did they do?
They released a list of the top 40 basketball players since the ABA-NBA merger.
Right.
And their list is totally fucked up.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And this is the most important thing we'll talk about all week long.
Okay.
All right.
But I want to start, let's start at number 40.
Okay.
Okay.
And let's work our way down. Well, can we imagine? I think we can all guess who number one is.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
I'd imagine so. It's either
going to
be him.
Anyone else would have been, the whole thing would have been irrelevant.
I agree.
Then number two.
Bill Russell?
He is LeBron James.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's who they have number two.
Man, come on.
That ain't right.
No, I don't like it.
Instead of starting at 40, why don't we just start at 15?
Okay, that's
fair.
And
work our way down.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right, so let's say in our top, let me give you the 20 through 16, just so you can get an idea.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Number 20 is Julius Irving.
Okay, Dr. J.
Number 20. Yes. Now, right before Julius Irving is Jason Kidd.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, that's arguable just because Jason Kidd's time and then
had a long lifespan in the NBA.
But also, those were all quality years, right?
Fair
and
enough.
He did it with several different clubs.
Yeah, but I think that takes away from him, being with several different clubs, if you ask me.
Oh, boy.
It's tough because, you know, he's...
Not if you made everybody better in every step of the road that he went on, like Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, he had a lot of assists, but, you know, Dr. J scored 22 points a game. Jason Kidd scored 12 points a game, man.
Yeah.
That's not a lot. And did he, I mean, he made it to some championships, but he never won a finals.
And the things he was good at, I thought other people were better at.
Yeah.
The assists.
He does have the rare distinction of being someone with 100 triple-doubles. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who else would you, well, let's just do this 20 to 16.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Next is Dwayne Wade.
Uh-huh. Chicago's own.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Okay.
Number 17 is Scottie Pippen.
Hell yeah.
I would argue top 15.
You would, Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Yep. I could agree with that, too. Then next, 16, is David Robinson.
All right, the Admiral.
Yeah.
Now, let me hear who you guys would imagine would be in the top 15. Just throw some names out there, and I'll tell you where they rank.
Well, I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem Olajuwon is number 6.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Bill Russell, Tim Duncan. I'm thinking all big guys.
Tim Duncan
right now.
Is number
Shaq.
3.
Okay, that's probably,
he's number 3.
That's that's a little pretty high good for Tim Duncan though.
Isaiah Thomas.
So 1, 2, 3 is Jordan, James, and Duncan.
Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
Isaiah Thomas, you say?
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas was a surprise for me because he's ranked number 32.
Yeah. No, really? He's way. Yeah.
I thought he should be way higher.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He only won 2 championships. And
but his personality, I think, brought a lot of people to like the sport.
He definitely was a superstar.
He was.
But superstar doesn't mean top anything, necessarily.
That's true.
There's plenty of superstars.
Right.
I mean, even a guy like Dennis Rodman, who was a superstar, and, you know, he's fallen from grace, I guess, since. But, you know, he was a superstar, but he's not top 20.
I'd say in the top 15, everybody that was on the 92 gold medal Barcelona team.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Well, my number 3 in my opinion should have been Kobe.
Wow. Okay.
Cuz I think Kobe had as many rings almost
rings
as everybody else.
He's got 5. He's got 5.
He was also one of the highest scorers ever.
True.
Yeah.
On and off the court.
Ayo. Yeah. Oh my god.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. With his Colorado raping.
That's right. Him and Will Chamberlain. You just had to go and spell it out. Why can't you ever just let anything hang in the air? We can.
I was just making sure.
Again.
Yeah. I was just making sure what you were talking about.
Nice.
Yeah, a little restraint, jackass.
Well, he's number 9.
Okay. I can dig it.
You said Shaq earlier. He's number 7.
All right. Yeah, he's.
So
he
we know
1, 2, 3 for his era.
6.
Where's Magic
7.
Johnson?
He's number 4. Good
damn
call, John.
Damn straight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now who's right after Magic?
Larry Bird.
Bird has got to be
there. There you go.
Fair enough. Those guys were neck and neck throughout
their
careers.
So we go Michael, LeBron, Tim, Magic, Larry, Hakeem, Shaq,
And then Kevin Garnett is number 8.
Really?
Number 8?
Yeah, a little high.
I think that's way high.
Way high on the list.
I mean, he's a
in
multi...
front of Kobe?
Yeah, I don't like it.
In front of... I think Shaq is definitely top 10, but I think Kobe should be even before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
I mean, looking at this list, it appears to me that maybe they're using the kind of sabermetric numerical ranking thing.
The Moneyball thing?
Well, Kevin Garnett did average a double-double career points and
that's
rebounds.
Ridiculous.
So,
but
you know,
Kobe...
Yeah, but Kobe, I mean, what did he score, like 30
he's,
points,
yeah, just,
25
yeah.
points
How
a
many
game?
Jerseys did Kobe sell compared to
yeah, true that.
Kevin Garnett?
True obviously. That. I mean, looking at it, too, I mean, a lot of these are, you look at Jordan has the best points per game, 30 points per game. Nobody else even has, you know, no one's averaging 30 points a game for their career.
Right.
I mean, Jesus. Even Russell, man. Where's
even
Bill
Shaq,
Russell?
Yeah.
Where is Bill Russell? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is number 11 on this list.
Yeah, I think he should be higher.
I agree.
I think Karl Malone could stand to move down a little bit.
But numerically, again, 21 points, 8 rebounds, while Mr. Kevin Garnett is doing 17
Where's Charles
points,
Barkley
10
on this?
Rebounds.
He's number 13, Barkley.
All right.
Okay.
I like
but
Charles.
But 15, we have Moses Malone.
Moses, a very underrated dude,
yeah.
I think.
He's underrated, but 15 ever?
Ah, man. 20 and 12 for his career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really good, man.
In a different era, too.
Yeah, 12-time All-Star, 3-time MVP. I mean, those are big numbers,
huge numbers
for that era.
Now, what about, now here they have number 24, Steve Nash, who I think should be higher. I think him and John Stockton should be higher.
Uh-huh, the white guys. Leave it to Andy to root for the white guys.
I just think they served more purpose
no, Stockton
than just.
Absolutely yeah. was, at his time, the top three point guards in the league.
Absolutely. And I was almost aghast at the fact that Steve Nash appears before John Stockton, but
yeah.
Steve Nash was a 2-time MVP.
Right.
Right.
So,
but then right behind Steve Nash at 25 is Gary Payton.
The glove, baby.
Gary
yeah.
Payton was shit, man.
His career was not that long.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I'm a little surprised that right behind the glove is AI.
Yeah,
Allen
very
Iverson.
Weird, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean...
But he was an iconic dude.
Wow.
He was famous, iconic dude.
Yeah, no doubt.
Clyde Drexler is a little low on the list, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I'm a big Drexler fan.
Sure. That's
and then
more...
our last, towards the end, we have Reggie Miller, who I think should be way higher.
Yeah.
Then Kevin McHale.
Okay.
James Harden. Chris Bosh.
Huh.
Paul Pierce. Ray Allen. Dominique Wilkins, Tracy McGrady, who's way high. Even at 33, he's way high.
Okay.
Patrick Ewing at 31. And then Isaiah Thomas.
All right. Interesting.
Anyway.
Man, I don't know. So this has brought you some consternation
yeah.
in
yeah.
review. You don't
yeah.
like it?
I don't like
You're
it.
You're upset?
My thought is, like, who is left off the list? That would be, I think, the more interesting question.
Right.
And thus the debate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, what I'm really the most chagrined about is...
And, of course, I think this is written with East Coast bias.
Little bit. That's a fair assertion to make. I'm mostly bummed because, and I think this is what kind of discounts the entire... list, in my opinion. Bill Russell is not even on this top 40 list anywhere.
No, and he's got, what, 10 rings?
He's got 10 rings. He was the first black coach for the worst, most racist team, or at least town, in the history of the NBA. I mean, that guy
now,
is
did
like...
he play before the ABA switchover?
He belongs... Well, I guess he did.
So there you go.
So
the
that's
ABA,
why. But that's
NBA
still,
merger.
That's bogus. I don't like it, man. I don't like it. I mean, I guess that's the only way they could do it, because otherwise then it'd be Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, and there'd
right.
be a lot of guys that
right.
didn't play.
Oscar Robinson.
Yeah.
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 George Gervin's on the list.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for the Iceman.
I like the Iceman.
You love Iceman.
Oh, man.
You always say that.
He's the best. Like the ice cream man, but he's just the Iceman.
Anyway. Top 40 players. There you go.
There you go. You didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I'm going to show up with my own list next week. I'm going to submit to the Washington Post.
Okay.
My top 40 colors.
Okay.
And then my top 40 shoes that I own.
Only
just 20
own.
Pairs of shoes. So I break them down.
The lefts yeah. are the top 20.
My left.
The rights are the top 20 to 40.
My left navy blue New Balance.
That's the best one, huh?
It's the best.
It's the most comfortable. One.
You guys knew that already, though.
I could see it. I've known all along.
Mm-hmm. It's got the most wear and tear.
That's right. Oh, so weird.
Want to do Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan!
Yeah, of course I want to do Chaka Khan.
You can't get enough of that shit.
I love me some Chaka Khan because Chaka Khan is the time on the show where we can't complain about anything and everybody has to tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good. Woo!
And if you don't know the rules, these are the rules to the game Chaka Khan.
No bitching, no moaning, no complaining, no kvetching, no weeping, no wailing, no fussing, no fighting, no wiping, no groaning, no growling, rumbling, or grousing, no criticism, cynicism, vitriol, or politics, no venting, no dissenting, no bellyaching, no moping, no trifling, no dumping.
No dumping!
Stop dumping!
That's right, not during this segment of the show called Chaka Khan. So, let's see. I'll start because I'm still in my costume. I had an audition today for a Comedy Central series.
And he's dressed like a banana, folks.
And I'm dressed like a banana.
With one of those Carmen Miranda fruit baskets.
That's right. A banana with a hat that has bananas
on
it.
It's really, really kind of interesting how he was able to get his headphones on mm-hmm. today.
It's yeah. really meta.
It's totally meta. So I'm hoping that we'll all be watching me on TV sometime soon as the token white guy on a new Comedy Central series written by African-American and Chicagoan Bashir Salahuddin and Diallo Riddle, these two cats that used to work for the Fallon Show. So, yeah. So, here we go.
Sweet.
Good luck, bro.
Keep your fingers crossed, motherfuckers.
I hope you get it, too.
Man, me too, because I tell you what.
We need some money.
There would be hella, I'd be the most Chaka Khan motherfucker around.
Oh, my God. You'd be walking around with a Chaka Khan wig on.
Yeah, buddy.
Telling everybody good yeah. stuff.
You, that's right.
You come on the podcast and say, "Hey guys, fuck you, I'm gone."
Yeah, quit. Yeah.
Fuck you.
You'd be rolling down the street.
That's right, buddy. So that's my Chaka Khan for the day.
Nice.
Who else?
Excellent.
Tell me something good, Johnny Mo.
I found out today that at my job that we're getting an extra incentive before the end of the year, the financial end of the year. I get a little extra money that I did not expect to get.
Nice.
And it's a sizable amount.
It is.
Way more than I expected.
We're talking six figures?
No. But it's
seven figures?
Leave it to Lauffer.
One figures.
It'll be enough that I'll have a nice, because it times out well with the vacation that I'm planning on taking on the first week of July. So it's gonna it's gonna work out well where I'll be able to have a nice healthy vacation and spend a little money yeah. and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah,
that sounds okay.
Yeah, man, it's great.
Woo,
that's good. Gone. It's like a relief.
Hell
you know,
yeah!
It just yeah. I was riding my bike in. To work today, I was thinking, man, I could use a little extra scratch because I want to go away for a weekend and I want to be able to, have a nice meal and, mm-hmm. Spend a little bit of money. And I won't, and I'd be taking basically 10 days off.
Nice.
Between both jobs.
I was like, that's pretty sweet. 2 weeks.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Good for you.
I had time saved up. And it worked out well with the holiday. Right. So time.
So now you get extra days on top of those things.
Yeah, exactly. So. And with that, it's like I want to be able to, spend a little bit of money when I'm not
going
to be.
Where are you going?
I decided this is what we talked about last week.
Oh yeah, we
actually.
Did.
So we debated. I had between three different places,
mm-hmm.
and I asked the guys what their opinions were of between those three places. It was Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
New Buffalo, Michigan, or what was the other one?
The one you're not choosing.
Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo.
I was thinking about Kalamazoo.
I was going to say Traverse City.
Which is actually
not
super
a bad
nice
place.
Too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with New Buffalo.
All right.
I was looking at some different things that are happening that particular weekend, and it's like it's just a really fun place, and there's a casino there, and
yeah,
you know, there's the hotel price is just right, and yeah,
New Buffalo. Just,
yeah. All right,
who would have thought about that?
Only Johnny Moe.
Good there's thought. A place you can rent a bike, so you can actually bike all the way down the southwest corner of the lake. You know, across all these like lakeside villages and stuff. It's almost like Denmark or the Holland, you know, where you can just take a like a cruiser bike and just go.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Last weekend I went to Chesterton, Indiana.
Chesterton?
Do you know that place?
Is that where they have the Lake Wizard Schaefer? Of Oz Festival?
I don't know. It's this little town where they have like a historic main street and a gazebo in the middle of the town and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it feels not very Indiana-ish.
Oh, really?
Which is the only reason I liked it there.
Right.
Hell yeah.
But we were looking at places and we were like, man, we could get a foreclosed house because, you know, in Indiana, everyone's on meth. So everything's on foreclosed.
Right.
Foreclosure.
Yep. Lots of them.
And you can get like a 2-bedroom duplex house. With a big backyard for like $41,000.
What?
Doesn't sound right at all.
Wow.
It does not sound right.
But it is like that. Like I said, my mom got 8 acres on a mountain in Alabama for like $50,000+, man. For real.
So, dude, you go there.
The only problem is you're living in Chester, Indiana.
Yeah, but it's 25 minutes on the metro.
Okay.
Into Chicago.
Okay.
You could do it.
I mean, yeah, sure.
You could do it. I had an acting teacher when I first moved to town named D, and he lived in Chesterton, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
He was like, it's not a big deal. Come in every day.
Huh. Good for D.
Man, I could do that. But if you put down $8,000 on a $40,000 place, you could have a mortgage of like $150 a month.
What? Wow. That would be the shit, dude.
Wouldn't that be? That would be incredible.
That'd be totally worth it.
Like, that's almost as much as you would pay for the monthly MetroPass to get back and forth.
Exactly. Wow. Makes you think.
And then you just...
So I guess we're moving in with Lawfer.
So make your mortgage $60,000, and then you have $20,000 to fix it up, build the deck,
right?
Fix the kitchen, all that shit.
Listen to this guy with his...
See, this is what I'm thinking, man. You know, people... I've been reading more and more about kind of the cultural schism that we're in right now between big cities and rural areas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the people in the rural areas are very much worried about their communities crumbling into dust and blowing away.
Sure.
When if the land and the houses are so dang cheap, then it seems to me that it would make more sense for people that are of a certain age and of a certain station that they could go out there and try to build on these communities and find something. Because... this is the thing. It's the Walmarts of the world that ruined everything.
That's true.
These big box stores, they forced out all the other small stores, right? And then their plan then is that then they reduce the number of Walmart stores that are around a certain area.
Right.
So then they just wipe everybody out, and then they wipe out the people that ended up getting jobs there.
That's why they won't build Walmarts here.
Yeah, right.
Thank God.
But I also said right after this election... if you want to change this electoral college, the way to do it is for a group of Chicagoans, for example.
Blue staters.
To move to Indiana.
Sure.
Set up shop in a town like Chesterton where you can get back and forth in 30 minutes.
Right.
And then you vote in Indiana.
That's right.
That's how you change it.
That and you get on like the school board, you know, like the different kind of...
you make changes.
Yeah.
School board!
You get on that goddamn school board, Johnny Moe.
If you want to do that. If you want to do that, right?
Do it for the kids. Wow. So, aside from promising real estate fines, what else did you do in Chesterton?
Did you guys get like a...
we just
Indiana
went to
breakfast or something?
Yeah, we went to a little hotel just to get out of the city for a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For a day and a half or something.
Yeah. It's a perfect getaway.
It is. It's awesome. It's right on the beach.
Cool.
Their beach is part of like their forest preserve. So you go, it's part of the dunes.
Right, the dunes.
So you have to like pay to get in there, but it's all like beautiful, really kept up beaches and everything.
Yeah.
And then we stayed in this little hotel right in the middle of the town. There's like a little historic diner and all We went to a barbecue place one night.
Was it any good?
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. The last time I ate pork was there.
Really?
Are you giving up pork now?
Pork and beef.
What kind? Really? What kind of pork did you eat? Did you eat pulled pork?
Pulled pork. Pulled pork.
Let me get that pulled pork.
Pull it.
Pull it. Pull it. Pull it. Pull it. I like my pork pulled.
Well, you know, I was thinking it's part of a longer story.
Okay.
I've given to be honest, I've given up red meat for a lot as well. But go ahead.
Good for you. For the record, guys, the annual Wizard of Oz Festival was in Chesterton, Indiana until 2008 following poor financial performance.
Maybe they foreclosed too.
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
You could buy the Wizard of Oz
Festival. Yeah, we're going to go buy the fest.
For $40,000.
Or Pierogi Fest. Like you just co-opt Pierogi Fest.
Or just Meth Fest, since it's Indiana.
That will be very popular
in Indiana.
Give
the people what they want, right?
You gotta know your market. Quit fucking around with this cowardly lion.
Know your market.
Let's get everybody get ready for Meth Fest. Board up those houses right now.
Everybody pull your teeth out.
Oh, Indiana. It's like the Florida of the Midwest.
Pretty much is.
Basically, every backwards-ass fucking thing you hear is coming out of Indiana right now.
There's a lot of backwards shit going on in Indiana.
Crazy.
Oh, they're like, man, in the 1930s.
But they're also developing at a very fast rate. Indianapolis has boomed in the past,
because
like,
people who
years.
Live in Indiana are like, I better go into a fucking town.
Yeah, right.
I can't stand being out here with all these fucking idiots.
There's a
derelicts.
There's a little bit of that.
When you have nothing to do, right? That's when that shit happens, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just driving around looking for meth. That's all they do.
Looking for those meth plants.
Is this a meth tree?
I mean, it is a drug capital because, you know, the Lilly Corporation is headquartered there.
Is that right?
Yeah. So all those big drugs in Indiana.
Big opioid.
There's more than corn in Indiana. Yeah. There's crack and heroin and meth.
Wow. Well, that was a nice little Chaka Khan, boys.
I wanted to give you my Chaka Khan.
Oh, I thought
I was
that
just
was.
Talking about Johnny's Chaka Khan.
Oh, I thought you were telling us about lovely Chesterton, Indiana.
No. Well, sort of. So the reason I went to Chesterton is because the week before last, and the reason I missed the show last week, is because I slipped up on my no alcohol program.
Oh, no.
It's a kind way to say something
that
I should have said a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
That I'm in recovery for alcoholism.
Yeah, you are.
But I try to avoid talking about it, and I think that's something that really needs to change in my life. I need to just be open and talk about it.
Absolutely. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Not at all. And everybody has a different struggle that they feel they should be ashamed of, but it's not. I mean, everybody struggles with their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm addicted to wearing a banana costume and wearing hats with
fruit. Yeah, but you look good in it, though.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
The bottom part of the banana looks like a big old dick.
It's hard to kick. That big old dick.
So I've had a hard time recognizing what my triggers are to start drinking.
Okay.
And I haven't been honest with everybody about my drinking or not drinking or whatever.
Okay.
But I've come to the realization over the past couple years that I am an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And that's hard to deal with sometimes because you think, well, I'm just a non-drinker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's not it.
Yeah.
I cannot drink.
Yeah.
So.
And you, honestly, for as long as you've been on the wagon, I would say you've actually been pretty good compared to a lot of people that I know that have tried to quit drinking. So, you know, you deserve some applause for that.
That's true. And not only that, but I would say also with the progress that you've made as a person is that you have changed dramatically as a person since this whole started.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're an asshole now, but you were like a huge
asshole
before.
The king of assholes.
Yeah. The emperor, I think, of all assholes.
Well, I
hadn't been able to accomplish so much, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
For
I had an incident last two Wednesdays ago, I guess.
Okay.
That caused me to slide backwards.
Uh-oh.
But not for, not into full on like relapse.
Sure, sure. But you just had a moment.
I had a six hour moment.
Okay, yeah, a bad night. Six hours.
About 5 hours. Let's say 5 hours.
Okay.
And that has caused me to have to rethink a lot of shit in my life.
Sure, sure.
So my Chaka Khan, the thing that's that I wanted to say that's good about it is I have stopped. I'm using this as a time to try to improve myself in lots of different ways instead of just not drinking.
Sure,
sure.
So I've been trying to attend meetings for drinking. I've been trying to meditate every morning.
Good.
Which learning how to meditate is fucking hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard as shit.
Focus,
dude.
Man. Focus.
Yeah. But I've just been doing like 10 minutes to start every day.
That's all you got
to
do.
That's it. I can't do like TM or whatever those guys do.
I don't know what TM.
Transcendental.
Oh,
meditation.
Transcendental. Oh, yeah.
But maybe that is kind of what I'm doing, but I don't think it's called that.
Okay.
There is, let me give you a shout out though, if you guys like or into meditating.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something called the Insight Timer, and it's an app that you get on your phone.
Okay.
And it's live, and it tells you everybody else who's on there at the same time. Uh-huh. So when you meditate, you can do it, set it. You can either set it, or you can do like a pre-recorded meditation. Okay. And it tells you how many people you're meditating with at the same time all around the world on the app.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
That is kind of
Insight Timer. It's free.
Insight Timer.
Yeah, and I think they probably make that number up.
Maybe. Maybe.
No.
Maybe they meditate on it and they choose that.
This is how many people we feel. Will be listening.
I've also been trying to bike 20 miles a day.
Wow. Whoa. That's a lot, bro.
Yeah. I've been doing it.
Good for you, man.
So like 10 miles in the morning, 10 miles at night?
Yeah, wherever I go during the day.
I've been, nice. Yeah.
I've been
that's a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to not eat any meat.
No meat at all?
I just had some chicken right now.
How about like tuna?
Yeah, I'll eat a little fish maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I had some shrimp the other day, but definitely no red meat.
Okay. Good for you.
So I'm trying to change a bunch of stuff at once. So hopefully if you throw a bunch of shit at the wall, maybe something will stick.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right.
And I think what helped me and bring a sense of balance in my life is when I started doing things like yoga, when I started training how keto, when I was creating a consistent physical exertion that has helped me to keep clear and focused on staying healthy and treating myself better psychologically, physically. And I think that it's made a big difference in how I go about my work, how I go about my different projects, things like that. It starts exactly what you're doing.
Absolutely. Sound mind, sound body, y'all.
Also, something else I did is I made it a public announcement to my Facebook friends.
You did?
Yeah. And I also used that opportunity to try to start a website to help other people who are maybe are not comfortable talking about it the same way I'm not.
There you go, buddy.
So it's called Recovery in Theater, and you can go check it out if you want to.
Recovery in Theater.
And if you would like to submit a piece of writing to it, you can send it to Recovery in Theater, and that's R-E, not E-R, like the fucking hillbillies in Indiana, at Gmail. Recovery in Theater at Gmail. Just send me an email if you would like to write something for it. But one thing I have to say is I've been getting like a lot of praise for this, for doing this, and everybody's like, you're very brave and how courageous and everything. But I haven't told anyone that I really fucked up with Nikki, with my girlfriend.
I'm sorry.
And she has to deal with like all the bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And never gets like a, how brave of you to stay with this asshole.
Yeah,
you
know? Deserves some applause for dealing with your ass, bro.
Yeah. So I just want to say that it's not, you know, it's only brave of me in the way that I don't want to be homeless.
Or dead.
Or blowing dogs for gin.
Dogs love gin.
Dogs always have pints of gin. And they're like, you can have this for a blow job.
Get out of my dick.
Oh, God.
But fucking Nikki goofy. Is truly the one who should be praised because she's the one who has been supportive.
That's fantastic.
Amen. Well, we all need people like that.
We do.
We all need tough love. We talked about I talked about tough love with you last week, actually.
Oh, you did? You've given me tough love in the past.
Absolutely.
Yes, he sure has.
I think aside from my own brother, you're the only person who I've had more occasion to punch.
Yeah.
That's why we're BFFs.
That's right. BFF, baby.
It is a true friend when it gets to the point sometimes when you do fight, physically fight. I've had that experience too. And, you know, there are guys that I've literally fought with that I still consider friends. Maybe we don't speak often, but I still consider them to be.
It wasn't really a fight. I was just punching him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean,
punch me. I actually got into a fight with guys.
So. Oh, no. I was so high, Jazz, I didn't even feel it.
Right. You weren't feeling it. You were trying so hard to leave the place where we were and go do bad things that I just, like, beat you into submission.
Fucking Nick's Uptown.
That was all I could do. Yeah, Nick's Uptown. Wow. It wasn't Nick's Uptown, but it could have been Nick's Uptown.
It could have been.
Yeah.
It's been other occasions.
Mm-hmm. That's
Tom
right.
Hickey, I think, beat me up at Nick's Uptown.
That's right. I'm sure he did. That's right. Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Well, we'll save those stories for another show.
Yeah.
Let me do a game show expose one.
Yeah, absolutely.
A TMZ-style show.
Tell the old stories. Let me tell you something. These guys in Poison or whatever the fucking band was, Motley Crue. Those guys ain't got shit on me.
Well, then
really?
We're like, I was snorting ants. Snorting ants.
That was Ozzy. Ozzy did that.
Oh, that's so gross.
I snorted your aunt.
That's terrible. Well, thank you guys for telling me something good.
Tell me something good.
Tell me. Good stuff.
All right, let's do some news.
Time now for Anderson Lawfer presents something about things in the news and stuff.
America's favorite part of the game show and stuff. Andy, news, go.
Stove thieves.
Damn ye, stove thieves.
His real name is Stoven Thieves. This story is from Louisville, Kentucky, my homeland.
Uh-oh.
You know what they make in Kentucky?
Stoves? Baseball bats?
Mm-hmm. What else?
Whiskey?
Uh-huh.
Bourbon?
What else?
Theater?
What else is Kentucky famous for?
Bluegrass?
Mm-hmm.
Music, right?
Horses?
What about our
juleps?
Well, actually,
fried chicken.
Oh yes, fried chicken.
And beautiful women.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I met a bunch of girls from Nashville this weekend. Oh wait,
that's Tennessee. You asshole!
Fucking idiot. Sorry.
Police say a Louisville man is accused of stealing a stove valued at $3,000 and selling it for scrap.
So not like a iron stove.
Because the stove once belonged to Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Really?
The founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Wow.
According to an arrest report, the stove was stolen on December 8th, 2014. That's when police say 39-year-old John Hall and an unnamed accomplice took the stove from the residence they were renting from the victim.
Wow.
Police say the stove, which had once been used at one of the original KFC locations, was a gift from the Sanders family to the victim.
Wow.
Police say the victim confronted Hall and his accomplice, and they admitted stealing the stove and scrapping it at a recycling center.
Oh, that sucks.
Hall was arrested. He's charged with one count of theft by unlawful taking.
That's redundant.
Sucks for everybody.
Yeah. It really does suck.
Yeah, Jesus.
Man, take anything else. Not this Colonel Sanders stove.
Yeah. That's the thing. $3,000 stove, sell to scrap. He might have got maybe $200 out of it.
Do you have any prized possessions?
Yeah.
What? Give me one.
I have a series of coins, a collective coins that my parents gave me when I was a kid.
Give him one.
No.
Give it to me.
But the
don't
yeah,
make
the,
me thieve you by unlawful taking.
Yeah, but they were meant to be safe for a rainy day. You know, it's a collector's item.
To sell one day for meth?
Apparently, if we all move to
Indiana,
let's
I guess
go to
so.
Chesterton, baby.
We'll be the left kings of Chesterton.
You know how many dog blowjobs I can get with this one hay penny?
This buffalo nickel is good for at least one cat fuck.
It's Susan B. Anthony.
Gross.
Do you have any past possessions, Jeff?
For all the things that I have, aside from like technology and maybe like boxes of like notebooks and stuff, I really don't have any prized.
Nothing
possession.
Of value, really.
Not really. No, that's yeah. really. I that just floored me when yeah, I thought about it. I was like, weird. Shit. I got some like you know World War II relics, you know, that were bestowed to me by my grandfather.
Yeah,
and those might have some value, but I don't even really know. I'll yeah. have to.
Are
look
we talking
into
about
that.
Monetary value? Or are we talking about
either? Either whatever you would not want stolen the most.
Right.
Oh,
got it.
I don't know.
I have a collection of shit from the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago.
Right.
And that's the stuff I would not like
hey,
to have
yeah.
stolen.
Sure.
Even though most of it isn't very expensive. It's like paperweights and pocket watches.
Yeah. But it was there.
Ticket stubs and shit like that. Yeah. But it was
History.
There.
It's a time capsule.
History.
Mm-hmm. One day I'd like to get real, like some real World's Fair of 1893 stuff. You know, there's
sure.
a guy here that has like his own collection in his basement uh-huh. just of World's Fair stuff. He oh. has the original ticket booth.
What?
From the World's Fair.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be cool.
Yeah, it's got to be cool as shit to look
oh,
at.
Oh, man. Neat.
Anyway.
Too much shit.
Story of my life.
As anyone who has ever suffered from a bout of constipation will surely testify.
Oh, no.
The experience really isn't that pleasant. Can you guys testify to that?
No, yes. I thought you meant too much shit like personal belongings, not too
yeah,
much
actually, I thought
fecal
too
matter much. In your colon.
No. That's what we're talking about.
I've had some moments, man.
Of constipation? When you take, like, painkillers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow,
like
sorry.
Elvis?
And then when it comes out, holy...
Oh, I'm sorry,
it's
man.
Like a Tommy gun.
It makes me sad.
It's ridiculous.
However, no matter how badly you've been blocked up in the past, you can pretty much guarantee that one guy has had it worse.
Probably. Which guy, though?
Surgeons in China have performed a highly uncommon procedure in order to remove 30 inches of a man's large intestines after a rare condition caused severe constipation to keep building up over a period of several years.
Oh,
30
years?
Inches. So that's 2.5 feet of intestine. They had to take out.
Oh, yeah. I saw that video.
I saw that, too.
The 22-year-old patient.
Oh. Wait, he's
22.
He's 22 years old.
Oh. Is thought to have been born with a rare condition known as Hirschsprung's disease.
Hirschsprung.
The highly unfortunate condition is caused by missing nerves, which would ordinarily help to squeeze and relax your bowels while passing shit. As a result, all that nasty stuff can become backed up and stuck in sufferer's guts, leading to some complications. Doctors say the patient first developed evident symptoms at a very young age. His belly swelled up so much that he looked as though he was heavily pregnant.
Whoa!
As a little kid.
That's terrible.
For a considerable amount of time, the man relied on laxatives and other constipation medicines to force his bowel movements, but now a team of experts, led by Dr. Yin Liu.
All right, Dr. Yin.
Dr. Liu, have operated to relieve his pain. Dr. Liu was taken aback by the size of the patient's abdomen.
Oh, no.
Adding, it looked like it could explode.
Oh!
Didn't it have anytime. Something like 25 pounds of fecal matter?
It's pounds and pounds, yes.
The man was reportedly in so much pain due to his bizarre condition that he finally plucked up the courage to go and seek out professional help. I don't know why that would take so long, especially if you know it's an issue for you, that they have to cut out your fucking body.
Yeah.
After being examined, tests quickly confirmed the young man had astonishing amounts of feces trapped in a section of his colon. He was taken to the operating theater and underwent a 3-hour procedure to have 30 inches of his intestines removed, and they ended up taking out a bloated chunk of gut onto the scales and found it weighed 28 pounds.
Oh,
oh, boy.
But you know how he felt when that was over with.
I am delivered! Woo!
He was like, I'm going to fly right out of here.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to run forever.
Oh my
28
God.
Pounds of shit
that
in your body.
Insane.
I wonder if there was whole, like,
yeah.
fish skeletons and chicken bones and shit. Like a cat.
A boot.
Like a, yeah, like a billy goat.
It was like that Jaws game from the early 80s.
Yeah.
Like fishing things out of
yeah.
his. Oh, man.
They're like, here's a harmonica and, a, and an old swimmer's cap. What was this guy eating?
Oh, my God. This is awful, man. I feel so bad for that dude.
Well, I guess he's okay.
He's expected yeah. to make a full recovery.
All
but
right.
one thing is whenever that guy goes on a date for the rest of his life, they're going to be like, are you the guy that had 30 pounds of shit in your body that had to tear out? So you can't fucking figure out that you need to go to the bathroom sometimes?
I bet you that after this procedure's done and it gets back to normal, he won't. The people won't even recognize him. Just
because right.
like he's so much like less well, huge. And
yeah.
then also probably had discoloration in his skin and all this
oh,
other
yeah.
stuff. You know,
just grumpy.
He probably looked jaundiced.
What do they call that when you have like toxic? What do they call it when ladies have a tampon in the wrong way or some toxic shock?
Toxic shock syndrome.
Oh, maybe okay. a toxic shock syndrome.
Could be.
But also, as a human being. I know I need to poop at least once a day.
It's nice.
Yeah. If things go well, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy did no pooping.
No pooping.
Wouldn't
so
it,
sad.
Wouldn't you like walk by the bathroom every once in a while and you'd be like, oh man, I forgot. I yeah. haven't been in there in like a month.
I think he was probably saying, you know, excuse me. He was probably saying every time he went to the bathroom, I can't go to the bathroom and I feel like I'm. I have a hex
stick
on
out
me.
Like a
curse,
like a toilet plunger up there.
Come on, man!
Plunge your butthole.
Stop it.
Something.
Get a chimney sweep.
Do something. Yeah, get one of those drain snakes.
Oh God, man! Stop that. That's ridiculous.
Just pull out big hairballs and shit like in the shower.
Oh, oh man, I can't wait until your next physical ailment strikes you and we hear what sort of interesting remedies
yeah.
you try at home.
Well, if I don't shit for a month, I promise you I'm going to the doctor.
Yeah, absolutely.
I promise. Or I'll stop eating.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Right, just live off of that.
Well, Jazz, it's time for our expose of
oh, yeah?
the news. Florida cannibals.
Oh,
what?
No.
They're back. Two for Tuesday. Three for Tuesday.
Florida cannibals.
This is a story that you will not believe that you heard.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Police in Vernal Heights, Florida,
mm-hmm.
arrested three practicing cannibals who claim eating human flesh cures both type 1 and type 2 diabetes and depression.
Come on.
According to Vernal Heights Chief of Police Gregory Moore, the three men were arrested when officers responded to what they assumed would be a routine noise complaint.
Oh, no.
Police arrived at the house at approximately 7:45 p.m. on Sunday evening in response to a neighbor complaining of strange sounds coming from inside the home.
Right, oh, just okay. in time for supper.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of strange sounds?
Responding officers told reporters that they assumed their visit to the house would be a quick one and they would simply be asking the residents to keep the noise down. When the officers arrived, they repeatedly knocked on the door and rang the doorbell. However, nothing could be heard over the sound of a stereo inside the house, repeatedly playing the same song, Inya's Who Can Say? After attempting to get the attention of the homeowner via knocking and ringing the doorbell for approximately 5 minutes, police entered the home through an unlocked door located in the rear of the house.
Oh no!
The responding officers told reporters that the house had been extremely dark, cluttered, and an overwhelming smell filled the home. Upon clearing the first floor of the home, the responding officers realized that the blaring music was coming from the home's basement. According to the officers, a bizarre crime scene was quickly uncovered upon entering the basement. Three men who have since been identified as 62-year-old William Provost, 51-year-old Dennis Ratcliffe, and 36-year-old Michael Dore were sitting in a circle on the basement's concrete floor and ritualistically chanting while eating what police initially believed was an animal carcass, but later identified as human remains.
No!
The group's leader, William Provost, admitted to practicing cannibalism and told arresting officers, "I find human flesh to be the only thing that cures my type 2 diabetes and chronic depression. If expensive pharmaceutical drugs helped, I would figure out a way to obtain them, but they don't, so I stick with what works for me." Upon searching the home's basement, police made several startling discoveries, including a large room that appears to contain nothing more than decades worth of clutter. But upon further inspection, police discovered human remains hidden throughout the old wooden furniture and broken appliances. Police also discovered a kitchen-style refrigerator located in a room in the corner of the basement that contained the limbs, organs, and miscellaneous remains of what police to be upwards of 8 different individuals.
Holy fuck!
Come on!
In addition to the refrigerator, the small room in the basement also housed a makeshift tool wall that contained a myriad of tools
that
police believe were used to dismember several victims.
Oh, God.
Upon their initial investigation, police believed the three men had been practicing cannibalism for the past 4 years and remained under the radar due to their practice of targeting and befriending homeless drifters they met at dive bars.
Come on.
100 miles away.
That sucks.
This is Jeff Dahmer, dude.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer had diabetes. What the fuck, man?
Holy shit.
How is that real, man?
Can you believe that shit?
No.
That's what's going on in Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lately.
Can you imagine if you found out someone in your life was a cannibal?
No.
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 Or that went about murdering people and then eating them.
Oh, God. You know?
There's something instinctual in our bodies that tells us to not eat other humans.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Wouldn't you agree?
So.
I mean, I've certainly tried a few game-type animals, and, you know, they're not very palatable, and there's a reason for that, you
yeah.
know? I mean, because we've evolved past, you know, the desire or the compatibility with certain kinds of meats and stuff like that, and I can't ever imagine, you know, that being something that
yeah.
you would find palatable, man. I mean, that's got
well,
to be
we have some
it's gotta
kind of,
be an acquired taste.
Maybe some kind of like, yeah, it's acquired taste. Maybe some kind of like survival instinct in us, like, emits a taste that makes it bad for other humans.
Well, sure, they say.
Does that make sense?
Sure, that's one of the reasons why they kill cows so quickly, because if they have tension and stress, you
right.
can actually make that a part of the, you know, it's like part of the final secretions, mm-hmm. you know, of the animal's, you know, glands and stuff like that is fear.
Right.
And you can actually taste that in meat. So.
I love that. That's my favorite part.
So this guy, he says, I don't even know why I'm trying to put logic on this, but
no.
the guy says it helps my diabetes, but, you know, you had to actually try and eat human flesh
first. In the first place.
Right.
To even come to the point where you figure that actually helps you.
Yeah.
So that means that he's been eating that shit forever.
Yeah.
Most
for
likely.
4 years at least.
At least.
And he's been, like, checking his blood sugar levels after eating it.
Apparently.
But what gave him the idea in the first place? Like, what
exactly.
put this theory into place?
Exactly.
I don't know. Did he maybe misinterpret one of those weird Wilford Brimley remixes?
I think so.
I mean, it could be. You just never know what kind of reaction people might have to certain sources.
Diabetes.
Cannibalism.
Cannibalism. Human legs.
Diabetes.
Let me eat some homeless people that can taste so good because they make me feel like I can go pee.
I lost all my apple pie. I was scared. I wasn't afraid to die. I was scared.
I've been keeping homeless people in my basement eating their legs.
And I really wasn't interested in that.
diabetes.
And then here's the other part of it, too, is you know those cops are now scarred for life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck, dude.
Oh, God.
That's what you sign up for, though, when you're a cop in Florida.
I guess.
I wonder if they take them all in a room on the first day, and they're like, are you sure you want to be a cop in Florida, dude? We're in rural Florida. You know what's going on down here?
Think about it.
Think about it, dude. We pay $19,000 a year, and you're going to see some crazy shit.
That's right. Oh, man. That's messed up, bro.
Well, Jazz and Johnny, it's time to play Dead in Chicago.
Yes, Dead in Chicago, the game where Andy tells us about someone who died in Chicago, and we have to fill in the blanks and solve the mystery.
The story comes to us from the Chicago Tribune, November 5th, 1907. Demolition comes to near all buildings in Chicago. In November of 1907 was the end of times for one building. The deconstruction was ongoing, and as it is sometimes, is with old buildings, hardly entirely safe. Edward Johnson learned this the hard way. The workman plus several others were working on the crew on the ground. As they went about their business, they heard a crack and a shift from above. The blank on the seventh floor roof had given way and came crashing down upon them. Edward was fatally injured, while the others would survive. It took 20 minutes to free the workmen. Oh. What was the blank?
Seventh floor building. I'd in say, Chicago in 1905 was the
1907.
Year? 1907.
Okay. Go ahead, Johnny.
I'm going to guess gargoyle.
Gargoyle.
Hey, good guess.
Really good guess.
It's funny. I was originally thinking like a, you know, a frieze or some sort of, you know, architectural thing. But maybe, how about a water tower? That's remember, they used idea. To have those little those water towers on
yeah,
top of
they
buildings.
They still have them in some places.
Some places they're a little antiquated, but I think you know, on a seven-story building, I bet you in those years they were probably still employing some of those.
Yeah, seven stories back then was pretty
plus,
fucking tall.
Well, and actually, and we know for a fact that the building is older since it was, you know, facing demolition in 1907. So then it definitely had a water tower. So I'm saying water tower.
All right, Johnny says gargoyle, Jess says water tower, and the answer is the water tower on the seventh floor roof had given way and crashing down.
Nice.
That's a hell of a way to go, man.
Oh, God.
That is a hell of a way to go. So you got to figure the water came crashing down first, right? Most likely. And then those that big-ass container.
Oh, God.
Fucked up.
And those are all just huge pieces of wood, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially if you don't even hear it happening, you just look up and here it comes.
Oh, man. I bet you it was like Wile E. Coyote style, too, where like the point of the water tower like fell right into his
like
eye or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, Jazz, barely ever.
What? I don't even know what that means.
This is an exciting story coming to us from Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, exotic Anchorage.
Back to back, fatal maulings of people by black bears in Alaska.
Oh.
Appear to be flukes by rogue animals, experts said today.
Okay.
But they warn that people venturing into bear habitat should always carry repellent spray or guns.
Yeah. Sure.
Or, if you're like me, don't go
don't
into
go.
Bear habitat.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right.
My theory.
Dickhead. In the first attack, a black bear killed a 16-year-old runner this past Sunday who got lost competing in a mountain race.
He got lost competing in a race?
How do you get fucking lost in a race?
Oh, my God. Yeah, there should be better signage, guys.
Yeah, you need, those used car flags.
Yeah, come on, race organizers.
Exactly. Where's the
job.
Where are the people, watching these kids?
Yeah!
Underage kids. There's not a freaking monitor anywhere?
Fuck these
drones?
Cameras?
Something.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Like laser pointers or something? They wear,
little GPS?
Yeah, I mean, that could help,
I was going to say, roadside flares on their heads. You always see them.
You always see them. like that. You do, Andy. Nobody else does. Maybe you do.
Maybe just run with flares in her hands.
Yeah. Now, on Monday, a man working at a remote gold exploration site several hundred miles away from the girl that was killed was mauled to death.
Oh, my gosh.
And another worker was injured by that same bear as well.
How do they know it's the same bear?
Yeah, exactly.
They killed the guy at the gold thing.
Oh, wow.
Such predatory maulings by black bears are extremely rare, akin to being struck by lightning, they say.
Wow,
to have two in 2 days is an anomaly. It just doesn't happen. Well, I got news for you. It does happen.
New precedent.
Attacks by brown or grizzly bears are far more common, particularly in defensive actions, such as when a female bear is protecting her cubs.
Oh, sure.
Right.
But they say when you're out running, if you're running in bear country, you're supposed to be singing loudly as you run.
Really?
Which might make you go slower.
Well, you'd be laboring a little bit more, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people usually make sort of an involuntary sound when they're running hard anyway, so you could probably figure out if you're going to be in a treacherous...
Well, it's either that, or you could try to win the race, or not die by being eaten by a bear.
You know who would win that race? A bear.
Yeah!
Yeah.
They can run fast.
They
Go
can
bear.
Run fast as fuck. Have you guys seen the video of the biker, the mountain biker who was on the trail and the goddamn bear started chasing him?
Yep.
That motherfucker was going to get him real quick.
Yeah.
He was about to get him.
That's why you always need to bring a shotgun when you go biking.
I've said that for years.
Or a bazooka.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, shotgun won't even kill a bear. It'll just make a bear like
Well, it'll scare it the fuck off. It'll scare it the fuck off, though. That's for sure.
I want to tell you a story about the most badass lady you've ever heard of in your life. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Right,
and this story is called Raccoon Drowning.
My favorite pastime.
This is a story of a lady who lives in Hope, Maine.
Okay.
A Maine woman says a rabid raccoon attacked her while she was out for a run, so she picked it up and drowned it in a puddle.
Holy shit, man.
Good for her.
Her name's Rachel Borch of Hope, Maine, says she was running in woods near her home when she saw the raccoon charging with its teeth bared. She said she knew the animal was going to bite her, so she held out her hands so it would bite her there. She then noticed a puddle in a nearby swampy area, so she ran over with the animal still biting down on her thumb, grabbed its neck, and then threw its head underwater into the puddle and drowned it.
You go, Rachel!
Wow.
Drown that bitch!
She's got rabies now, but okay.
She's in the hospital for rabies exposure treatment.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
That shit is lethal, man.
It's lethal.
Now she's going to be scared of water.
I think the only one who's lethal here is Rachel.
Rachel Borch.
Lethal Rachel Borch.
God damn. Can you imagine if your wife came home? And she's 21, so your girlfriend.
Yeah.
She could never be married.
Yes, no, that's not wife material.
No.
Running in a forest? I'll have none of it.
If you're dating Rachel Borch, this 21-year-old lady, and you're like, oh, my God, what happened? And she was like,
I killed.
And she's never had any
signs
of this strength inside of her before.
Right.
And she's like... You were like, hey, how was your run? And she was like, oh, it was okay until a raccoon bit me, so I drowned that bitch in a puddle.
Oh. What are we having for dinner?
I choked that bitch out, yeah. It's for dinner. It's 10 a.m. That's part of rabies.
That's right.
Makes you want dinner in the morning.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's a sure sign you have rabies. Meatloaf for breakfast!
Oh, Lordy B.
What, no dinner salad?
Waffles for dinner?
Fuck you! Rachel, please!
So what ends up happening?
I want Chinese!
Yeah. I'm going to drown this cat! Now she's just drowning things. She's drowning everything she sees.
I want to feel the life ooze away from them.
for my diabetes.
Oh, no.
Come here, let me eat you. Need to work on my blood sugar for dinner and breakfast.
God damn.
Rachel. Rachel fucked up.
Fucking Rachel, man.
You guys got to remind me about Rachel Bort so we can do some more follow-ups.
We should look her up on Facebook.
Yeah, this bitch is hardcore.
She's drowning fucking
She's probably gotten a shit ton of interview requests and everything from all over the country.
Well, and we probably should have hooked her up with Homeboy so she could see if she could get some raccoon penis bone out of that.
Oh,
raccoon.
Yeah. Forgot about the raccoon penis bone guy.
Yeah.
I never donated to him.
It's really too bad. Too bad.
He got kicked off of Kickstarter.
Did he?
Yeah. Really?
What?
Oh. Because they were like, it's too inappropriate for Kickstarter.
Wow, that's terrible.
And he
was
like, all I'm doing, I'm just a simple man selling simple raccoon penis bones and tubes.
Hey, Rachel Borch. If this is her.
It's cute.
Yeah, she's not bad looking.
For a manian.
Yeah, exactly. For a bitch who chokes raccoons and drowns them.
For a maniac.
A maniac. Nicely done, Johnny Moe.
Cheers.
Wow. You know what? For a lady that I would imagine who drowns raccoons in Maine, not so bad looking.
I'd take her out for a steak dinner.
Raccoon steak.
For breakfast.
For breakfast. For breakfast. Where's the cauliflower? Cauliflower. It's a dinner vegetable.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What next, Andy?
Let's take a trip to the Crapacombs.
What's that?
It's a story coming to you from Paris, and it's very scary.
Is it?
Okay, another scary story.
Two teenage boys have been rescued after 3 days underground in the skeleton-lined labyrinth of the catacombs of Paris.
Fuck that.
Paris police said they alerted firefighters early Wednesday that the boys, aged 16 and 17, were missing. Police said teams of rescuers, including climbers and sniffer dogs, set out searching for the youths and found them beneath southern Paris a few hours later, suffering from slight hypothermia. It's unclear how the boys got lost. Sometimes people sneak into the catacombs after the official museum is closed and venture into areas normally off limits.
Sure.
Even organizing special parties or adventure games, which we've seen movies of. Have you ever saw any of those movies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never saw the movie. I know what movies you're talking about, but yeah, that's right. They've been made famous, and so now they're going to attract kids. I mean, that's shitty, but true.
Skeleton-lined fucking hallways under Paris.
No way.
Because they ain't just... I mean, if anybody's seen any Indiana Jones movie, it ain't just the skeletons down there.
No.
Fucking rats. Fucking snakes.
There's some, like... crazy Bangladeshi dudes having like weird rituals down there, melting dudes' faces off and pulling people's hearts out and shit, eating monkey brains.
Mm-hmm. Asps.
Asps.
Very dangerous.
You go first.
Some 20 meters below Paris, 66 feet below Paris, the catacombs hold the remains of 6 million people.
What?
Transferred there starting in the 1700s as public graveyards were closed.
What?
That's crazy.
Six million
that
people.
That is crazy.
That's as
so it's
many
huge
that there
tunnels.
Are, this is that's as many people as the population
there.
Of the city.
Yeah,
no, that's twice as many. Chicago has 3 million people.
Well, we
no,
do.
Saying,
yeah, Paris.
Paris is probably
bigger. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Holy fucking shit!
Yeah,
6 million people buried under the city.
We're talking about hundreds, of, like 100 square miles of fucking catacombs.
Yeah, just bodies stacked on top of each other.
That is holy. Shit.
Yeah, that would not be cool to be lost.
No,
there.
No, in the fucking dark
so
for
this
3 days.
To my question,
actually,
what is the scariest place, in your opinion, that you would ever be trapped?
Oh,
my God.
Man, that's a
tough.
Good question.
And you can't say, like, the middle of the ocean.
No, I tell you,
one of the
scariest places that I've ever been, and actually, my people from my family lived there for a while too. is the Chicago suburb of Berwyn.
Berwyn!
It's true.
Is that where they throw rubber chickens at you?
Yeah. That or, shit is crazy,
they
bro.
They put cars on a big giant spike.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Man.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, the Chicago sewer system scares the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. All that underground stuff. I mean, there's tons of catacombs and stuff from during the Prohibition days that we know a little bit about. And I mean, just anything underground is terrifying. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, under a busy populated area.
Or like floating in a boat after a storm kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. some sort of weird thing where you don't know how to get anywhere and... Oh, man, the water is scary to me, too. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. That's a tough one. What about you, Johnny Moore? What do you think?
Yeah, that's tough for me, too. Yeah, because, like, I think the scariest concept is definitely open water for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that I'm not a particularly strong swimmer. I've almost drowned once.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
So I do have some PTSD as far as that goes. Shit, so, yeah. It's probably water.
I imagine so. You'd have some serious PTSD from that. How'd you almost drown, man?
Well, I was 19, and I was down on the Fox River
mm-hmm.
With a bunch of my Southside buddies, and uh-huh. we were just canoeing down the river. You can rent canoes right
Yep.
now. And then all along the bank, they have these outcroppings of rocks, and some of them are really big. One of them, and depending on where you're at in the depth of the river, people jump off these fucking things. Which is not smart.
Man, not smart at all.
So,
what do you think? You're Burt Reynolds in Deliverance?
It's fucking ridiculous. So, all my guys were, come on, dude, you fucking pussy! And it's just all that stupid shit when you were 19.
Oh, come on.
And I actually do. I jump off this thing. It had to be about 20 feet high.
Whoa.
Jump in the river, get back to the shore, and then this girl that had jumped before me got caught up in the current.
Oh,
so she's getting
no.
down the river.
So you went to save her?
I did.
God damn it.
I get to her. I get to her.
Wow, you're a hero, Johnny.
I'd be like, sorry! It was nice to meet you!
You look good in that bikini!
Yeah.
I get to her, and she starts freaking the fuck out.
Uh-oh.
So she's pushing my head underwater, like trying to keep herself afloat.
Oh,
and I'm
shit.
Fine with her, right? And we're still fighting the current. And I'm getting more tired. And then I get to a point where I'm looking up from the bottom at the surface of the water. I'm thinking, like, how nice it would be just to let go. Right, just
uh-huh.
to give up.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So then something happens, and someone reaches down and actually pulls me up from underneath the water onto this boat that they had found offshore.
Wow.
And they pull me back in and put me on the boat and get me to shore. I was only about 20 feet from the shore.
Oh man.
And
puke
my guts out.
Uh huh.
Right, because it's all full of dirty river water.
Yuck.
And the best part of the story is that the girl apparently was tripping on acid.
Hey! So, of course she was.
Almost died for almost basically nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
That's some Andy behavior.
Yeah, it sure is.
Tripping on acid, dumping in the river.
Yeah. So, yeah, open water is definitely scary for me.
You ever see Serpent in the Rainbow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like buried alive.
Buried in
shit.
A coffin.
Oh,
motherfuck
man.
That. Dude.
Where you could live for probably 12 hours.
Right.
12 hours of just like,
just
here
agony,
I am.
Agony, agony, agony. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, it's like that scene in...
At least you know you're going to die in that one, though.
I guess.
No, I don't think so.
But
as
still.
Long as you're conscious, you're always going to have that thought, I can get out, I can get out, I can get out.
Oh, fuck that, man.
And I think the way you would die is that you would essentially just fall asleep, right?
Yeah,
so that's kind of how it works. So
you asphyxiate.
Yeah, you suffocate slowly.
But mm-hmm. still, that's awful.
Ugh.
Well, there you go.
Good job, guys.
All right.
And that's the news.
Just a reminder to never go to Florida.
Drowning raccoons!
Rachel Bourne!
The maniac!
Rachel Walsh
presents something. About
I drowned 12 raccoons.
She's a maniac, maniac.
And now, Jazz, it's time for a birthday shout out.
someone wolf!
And today is June 20th, which means it's a great day to be
a Broadway playwright,
a Hollywood hero,
a worldwide icon,
or D, all of the above.
Happy birthday, Lillian Hellman!
Children's Hour, Dark Angel, Little Foxes. You said cynicism is an unpleasant way of saying the truth. It's so true!
You also refused to answer questions from the House Un-American Activities Committee. Ballsy!
That got you blackballed from Hollywood with your beau, Dashiell Hammett. But y'all didn't give a fuck.
What up, Errol Flynn?
Captain Blood, Charge of the Light Brigade, Seahawk, Robin Hood. Swashbuckling was your specialty, bro.
Word on the street was you banged everybody, which is where we get the expression, in like Flynn.
Once you said, I don't know anything about acting, and then Betty Davis slapped the shit out of you on the set.
Choo-choo.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, General Wolf Tone.
I know, that, what a cool name, but I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of you before today, which is crazy because hella stuff bears your name, Wolf Tone.
Wolf Tone Square in Dublin. Wolf Tone Street in Limerick. Wolf Tone Bridge in Galway. Say what?
Not only that, there's a dozen soccer teams named after you, too. Way to start Irish Republicanism, Wolf Tone!
Wolf Tone! And let's not forget,
director of Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Robert Rodriguez.
Best supporting actor for Ed Wood, Martin Landau.
Star of Do the Right Thing, Danny Aiello. How come ain't no brothers on the wall, Sal?
Chicago sweetheart and star of Frasier, John Mahoney.
Blues Brother 2000 star, John Goodman.
Days of Thunder star, Nicole Kidman.
Also born today,
Bob Vila of This Old House.
Wrestling superstar, Coco Beware and his macaw, Frankie.
The Tank, Darren Sproles of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On guitar, the country gentleman, Chet Atkins.
On industrial bass, Jordy White of Nine Inch Nails.
On new wave bass, John Taylor of Duran Duran.
On glam metal bass, Michael Anthony of Van Halen.
On banjo, folk icon, Jimmy Driftwood.
Jimmy Driftwood, what a great name! With Tripped Out production by Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Canadian country crooning by Anne Murray.
San Fran rap stylings by Sage the Gemini.
And R&B vocals all night long by Lionel Richie.
All night.
And if you've got a birthday shout out, drop us a line and stuff at radiomisfits.com.
All night. Birthday shout outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online all night for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for info.
No, Anderson, there are roughly 7 billion people in the world all night, exactly 365 days in a year all night. And that means that there are approximately 19,178,000 birthdays being celebrated every single goddamn day.
That's great, Jazz.
And we celebrated some of them with you, for you, by you, on the game show.
And we'll be right back after this.
This. The Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak. Tweaked Audio has earbuds in several styles and colors with flat cable and inline mic. Plus, they offer a classic metal or stylish wood design. And waterproof sports buds with silicone caps that hold them in place no matter what your activity. Not only that, Tweaked Audio also offers an over-the-head option with removable cable and inline one-button microphone for travel, stereo, or studio use. Go to tweakedaudio.com to order yours now and use the code GAMESHOW for 33% off and free worldwide shipping. Tweakedaudio.com. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak.
By the by, I don't smell good, turns out.
The way it goes. I mean, on a Tuesday.
You coming from jujitsu,
taekwondo, hapkido,
karate,
karate, kung fu.
Yeah, nunchucks class.
No, it's not true. Not racist.
Ninja
at all.
Turtle class.
You know, kids would fucking love that.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
Beef stew for breakfast. Oh. Where are my steamed potatoes?
Yeah.
Stuffed clams. Baked Alaska. Chili with the fixings.
First thing in the morning.
Motherfucker got rabies.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck.
That sucks.
It's time to play Johnny Mo Teaches You About Stuff.
Yes, Johnny Mo Teaches Us About Stuff, the game where we test the things we think we know, and we learn new things from Johnny Mo.
Guys, this is a special edition of Johnny Mo Teaches You About Stuff.
Really?
This is our Independence Day edition.
Woo!
You know, because that July 4th is just around the corner, and I thought it would be a good way for us to get in the spirit of celebrating freedom, because before it's all taken away from us.
Amen. Old-fashioned freedom. People love freedom. I don't know if you knew that.
Do they?
Both sides. Both sides of the aisle will tell you how important freedom is. But they have different ideas of what freedom means.
And how to get it.
Yeah. But they all love freedom.
Yeah. And truth.
And the American way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to read a statement and then ask you to fill in the blank.
All right.
Okay.
Should we get the buzzers to buzz in to see who can get it faster?
Or are we
what
just going to
both
scream,
get a chance?
What if we scream a word that we associate with freedom?
How about we don't do that today? As much as I love freedom.
And screaming.
Hand me those rubber chickens that I got from my brief stint living in Berwyn.
Berwyn!
Yeah, you didn't get the good ones.
Oh, train whistle for you.
Oh, that's easier for me then. Good. Perfect. All right, here we go. The blank was written by Francis Scott Key and was...
Andy. Star Spangled Banner.
You got it.
That's right.
It was an old drinking song in Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Good job, Andy. That's good job. Hobby. You're real fucking smart.
Yeah, I'm a real freedom lover.
Okay, next up. Thomas Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence on a blank.
Jazz?
I was going to say something terrible, and now I've reconsidered it. I'm going to maybe make some disparaging comment about him using one of his slaves that he was so famous for utilizing in other ways. but I'm going to say a piece of hemp.
Incorrect. Andy, do you have a guess?
I need to finish the question, please.
Thomas Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence on a blank, which was a writing desk that could fit on one's lap.
Oh, like a...
There was a brand name for it back then?
Yeah. Is it like one of those IKEA names?
Swedish word? Thornblorn.
Yeah.
Is it a Thornblorn?
Is it a Bork? A Borkenstern?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, Borkston.
No. The term they use is laptop.
Oh!
Laptop.
Wow! What do you know?
God damn it.
That's where we got it from, eh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Still one zip.
Yeah. Right.
Another Thomas Jefferson related
great
statement. Uh-huh. Thomas Jefferson changed the wording of the Declaration of Independence from the pursuit of blank to the pursuit of happiness. Andy.
Freedom.
Incorrect. Jess.
Health.
Incorrect.
Ah.
The
rabies.
Raccoons.
Yeah, hand jobs.
Meth.
He changed it from the pursuit of property to the pursuit of happiness.
I'd rather have property.
Yeah, that makes you happy.
Right. All right. Several countries have used the Declaration of Independence as a beacon in their own struggles for freedom. These countries include France, Greece, Poland, and blank.
England.
Incorrect.
No, yes. Man, they hate us. Liberia.
Incorrect.
Dang.
Dude, they're fucked up too in Liberia.
I know, but they're named after, or I guess it would be like Liberia, Monrovia. There were a lot of places that were established in Africa, on the African continent, that were based on, you know, being an American subsidiary of sorts. So that's why I said it.
Czech Republic.
No.
Dang.
The answer is Russia.
Hell no.
Hell no.
All right.
Fuck those guys.
So right now, the only one who scored a point is Andy.
Mm-hmm. Man, whatever.
So, these are hard.
Yeah. Legit.
I love Patti LaBelle.
Man.
And I love freedom, sir.
Oh, gosh.
All right, here we go. An estimated 150 million blanks will be consumed on July 4th. Jess.
Hot dogs.
Zimas. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So only about 75 tied. Million Zimas.
We're tied.
All right.
One to one. So I'm going to find a tie-breaking question.
Ooh. Nothing says freedom like pig buttholes.
That's right. Lips and ass, ladies and gentlemen. Our forefathers fought for our rights to consume questionable meat byproducts.
I always wondered that about Chicago. You know, in Chicago, they're like, don't put ketchup on your hot dog.
Yeah.
Like, don't mess up these pig buttholes with ketchup.
Yeah.
Use celery salt for pig's buttholes.
That's right. Anything makes it taste better. Anything at all.
Seriously. You could just put pickle juice.
It's true. True, like Hannibal Burris.
What does he do?
You haven't heard his joke about flicking pickle juice? He saves jars of pickle juice.
Oh, like lemon?
So that he can just like flick it on a sandwich. Just for,
oh,
like,
man, that's a good idea.
It actually is a pretty good idea. It was one of the first jokes of his that I saw him do like at some sort of showcase or whatever. And I was like, this guy's kind of a genius.
Yeah.
And then he turned into a colossal asshole.
People hate him.
They really
Chicago.
Do hate him in Chicago, man. I guess he's like, you know, he's the Errol Flynn of Chicago. He's fucking everybody, man. That's crazy.
Well, there's worse things to
I
be.
Mean, you know, I guess he's got it like that.
He got some money. Who cares?
That's true. And he got exceptional notoriety for his takedown of Bill Cosby. So
yeah, who's a bigger asshole?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, and the guy we didn't talk about on the news is Bill Cosby.
Did
getting
you see?
Off.
Oh, he got... acquitted?
Well, there was a mistrial.
A mistrial, which means
really?
they can retry him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But did you see him leaving the courtroom?
Yeah, did you hear him say, hey, hey, hey?
Yeah, as soon as he walks out of the courtroom, he goes, hey, hey, hey.
Wow.
That was all he said. He didn't speak to a
You know why?
Reporter.
Because all his supporters, that's what they say when they see him outside.
Oh, is that right?
So he said it back to them.
Oh, okay.
Which is fucked up.
It is kind of fucked up, man.
It's really fucked up.
What if they all said, like, pudding pops?
That'd be even worse.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible. Jello Jigglers. That was my favorite.
The Jello Jigglers.
Put the Jello into the mold and put it in the refrigerator and then take it out of the mold. And you got a shape that you can play with before you eat it.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
On July 4th, over 150 million blanks will be used.
Used?
Condoms.
Fireworks.
Hot dog buttholes.
Raccoon penis bones.
Jazz got it.
Hey!
And Jazz wins.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
That's right, motherfucker.
Jello Jiggler.
Nobody is more patriotic than me.
Woo!
Yeah!
Dinner for breakfast!
There's going to be 150 million...
Where's my Oysters Rockefeller?
Oysters Rockefeller on the 4th of July morning.
For breakfast!
Oh my gosh.
One-off salad! One-off salad!
Oh man. Oh, I love this country.
Meatball sandwich!
All right, guys, let's stop yelling so much.
Yeah.
I can't! My rabies!
You know, another symptom of rabies is screaming diner menu items.
Sirloin steak!
Chicken fried chicken!
Oh, my God. He's really got rabies bad. Anyway.
Leopard onions!
Oh, everywhere you look.
Johnny, Jazz, good to see
you. You too, buddy. Welcome back.
Shoo-boo-bop-da-da! And guys, we will see you next Tuesday.
Shoes. What the f*** happened to my shoes? Okay, show's over.